everybody, to the Leadership Podcast today. We have Jane Patton from the Peace House in the studio, and we're excited to have you, Jane. Welcome.
Well, thank you so much, Rob. It's good to see you, and it's good to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As we've said, we want to bring you the best and the brightest in Park City that are leading nonprofits and in a way making an impact well beyond just Park City and Utah. These are, I think, cutting-edge nonprofits, and Jane is no exception to that. So first of all, let's tell us about yourself. Where'd you come from? How did you get here?
Oh, it's an odd story.
Right.
Born and raised in Pittsburgh, outside of Pittsburgh, and went to Penn State, moved kind of around the country, got married, had kids. I started getting involved with a YMCA, not a YWCA, but a YMCA, and that was in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I became a program director, and then we had a move. My husband at the time was transferred to the New York area, and so we moved to Connecticut. And I worked at a YMCA there and became a managing director. So I got really good nonprofit education and experience, just loved it. But then there came a time when it was time for me to leave the YMCA, and I started working for a company called Mountain Workshop. And they did outdoor adventure programs, a bit like Outward Bound. And what I loved was it involved all those leadership things that you want students to know, kids to know.
Give some examples.
An example, it was about working together as a team, communication, looking at risks and what is an acceptable risk. That involved choice making, learning how to have others be your support and to talk through problems and issues and not just hold it inside. At the end of each day on these programs, they were canoeing, kayaking, rock climbing, caving, those kinds of things, from Quebec all the way through Pennsylvania.
Fun.
So they were great programs. And at the end of each day, there was a group where the group of 12 to 13 kids with their leaders would have group. And they'd discuss the day and they'd make goals and they would discuss what could have gone better. Part of it that I absolutely love, and I try to remember this at Peace House, is we'd talk about, two pluses and a wish. And so it was, wow, you did a great job with this. And I really love seeing you stepping out today and doing something that you had never done before. But I wish you would have prepared me for something that you were going to do so that I could be there for you. So
I like that, two pluses and a wish.
So
I like that.
There are two compliments and then a wish of making something better. And
that's really good.
I learned so much from working at this organization, but the responsibility was huge. I was responsible for 1,000 kids in the summer.
Wow.
From 8 years old to 17.
Wow.
All across the Northeast.
Okay.
And doing these kind of risky kind of activities. And my son had already moved to Utah, and he has two children, and I would come and visit them. Absolutely loved Utah. Great adventure here. And so one day, this little switch went off in my head, and I said, I'm moving to Utah. So
you just knew. And did you know Park City specifically, or just Utah?
No, I didn't move to Park City first. I moved to Cottonwood Heights, got a little place there. I bought it, went back, worked for a couple more months, quit my job there, moved out here, and started looking for a job.
Okay. And what year was that?
That was 2004.
Okay. So 10 years ago, yeah.
10 years. 10 years ago, Sunday.
Oh, my goodness.
Was the day I moved
Sunday.
Here.
Sunday,
And so I started looking in the paper and on the internet, and I was looking for, I wanted a nice little 9-to-5 job with no pressure, and I could go home, and that was it, you know. So I couldn't do it. I apply for these jobs and go, no, I can't. It's not even worth putting in the application. It's not going to work for me. So there was an ad in the Tribune for the office manager at Peace House. And with a nonprofit background, I thought, I can do this. This is good. And they wanted somebody to do their bookkeeping, and I had done that before. I did all the financials with Mountain Workshop. So I was interviewed and hired. And
wow.
So for 4 years, I commuted up and back from Cottonwood Heights. Mm-hmm. And I finally went, I need to move up in this area. Mm-hmm. So 6 years ago, we moved up here.
Wow, okay.
And but 3.5 months after I started Mountain Workshop.
Yeah.
Cut that one. At Peace House. 3 and a half months after I started at Peace House, their executive director quit.
And here you are,
and
brand
here
new.
Here I am. They said, would you become the interim and let's give it a try.
That's interesting.
And
right
I was,
place at the right time.
Right place at the right time, except I went, really? I'm doing it all over again.
You were hoping for that 9-to-5 easy job, weren't you?
Right. So much for that.
Yeah.
And kind of the rest is history. So I've been with Peace House for 10 years.
10 years. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, good. So, okay, so talk about Peace House now. For the listener who's never heard of Peace House, give us the breakdown. What is Peace House about? How did it start? What's the history?
Well, Peace House, the mission of Peace House is to end domestic violence in our communities through education, outreach, shelter, and support. And it started out in 1990. There was a woman that was shot in Albertson's parking lot. And it was it was public, it was shocking. Mm-hmm. It really rocked this community. Mm-hmm. So a group of leaders, many of them faith leaders, came together and decided that they were going to look at ways they could make a difference so it never happened again. Mm-hmm. They decided to build a shelter, and it was built in 1995. The irony is, in that same year, there was another woman that was killed in Park City.
Oh my gosh,
by her
back
husband.
To back almost. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And it was, a lot of people knew both of them. One was from Samick. The first one was from Samick. The second one lived in Park Meadows.
Wow.
And so it really put the grassroots group of people, it really strengthened their desire to really make a difference. Back then, all they thought about was safety. They thought about we have to get these women into a place that's safe, and the shelter was built accordingly.
Interesting.
And it was back then, women and their children would come stay for a very short period of time, maybe a couple nights, and then they go. And
so it's very short term, very emergency. Get them out of the dangerous situation.
Absolutely, okay. You've got right on target. That was, it was an emergency shelter, and it was viewed as nothing else. So much so that the little shelter that we're in right now, none of the bedrooms have closets.
Oh my goodness!
Because they didn't think that anyone needed closets.
Yeah, exactly. Short term.
There are shared bathrooms for 5 bedrooms. There are 3 baths.
Okay.
And so that was how it was, and that ran with volunteers for a long time, and then they needed paid staff. Well, in the last 19 years, things have changed drastically. Then there was an understanding that. If they're going to leave in a couple nights, where are they going to go? They're going to go back to their perpetrator. They're going to go back to the same situation. So it was much more beneficial if they worked upon helping the family move forward with skills that would keep them sustainable so that they could change their life and move forward. And through case management and wonderful cooperative and collaborative partnerships such as we have with the Christian Center, we were able to help them find the things that they need, whether it was a job or housing or clothing or food or just connecting them to their community. And we've had some really great successes. And that worked well. But the new thought and direction, which I think is so important, is called trauma-informed care, is the way to look at it.
Interesting term. Say that term again.
It's trauma-informed care. And what this is all about is to realize that First, they need safety. Mm-hmm. Second, they need help with finding and discovering and learning self-sufficiency. Mm-hmm. But the third is understanding that with chronic domestic violence, with chronic violence and tension within the home, there is trauma that family, those family members are feeling. And if the trauma isn't dealt with, then most likely it will be repeated. Hmm. And so through counseling, through education in, you know, domestic violence and chronic tension and stress, what that can do to them, and helping them to see that there are